Let's go back to Psalms. We're almost finished with our series that we've been on, Psalm 103. And he talked about blessing the Lord. We got something to give God praise for, don't we? How he took care of us this week, how he supplied our needs, took care of us, watches over us every day. I can't praise him enough. The older I get, the more I realize how much I need him. God, I need you. I need you. We've been talking about a strategy. We've been talking about vision. For as we go out into the world, as we minister to people, for them to be saved, for them to be healed, for them to be set free, for them to be discipled, as we talked about last week. And the next three are going to be equipped, empowered, and serving. Today I want to talk about equipped in maybe a little different way. When you talk about the word equipped, you automatically think about tools and having the right accessories to do what the job. But I want to go a little deeper than that. And I find it in Psalm 103 in verse 5. I won't hold you but just a minute this morning. But it says here, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. We talk about equipped. What do we need to give? The greatest equipment that God has ever given to us is a satisfied heart. I was asking you this morning, are you satisfied? You probably have to think a little bit. Are you really satisfied? I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning when God satisfies you. Four questions I want to talk about today. Number one is, let's talk about what is satisfaction. Because there's so many terminologies today of what really brings happiness and satisfaction. Let's look at God's word and see what it says here in verse 5. First of all, the word satisfy from the Hebrew means to be made full. To be made full. One of the greatest things that we have today is access to the presence of God. But I want to look at the next word there, and it says your mouth. Let's look at that. Verse 5, it says, who satisfies, the word Hebrew word for satisfies, to be made full, it says, who satisfies your mouth. Now the word mouth in the Hebrew is actually recorded 13 times out of 39 books in the Bible. It's actually recorded 13 times. 11 of those 13 times, it is given this terminology, this Hebrew meaning, guess what the meaning is? Ornaments. Ornaments, like Christmas ornaments. And so it gives the fact that our mouth is an ornament to what we are. If you walk by a tree and it's got decorations and ornaments on it, then you know that's a Christmas tree. Well, isn't God so beautiful in his word? As you begin to break down the terminology, his meaning is really, really simple. It means a horse mouth ornament. If you know anything about horses, and I love horses, in my younger days, I had horses and we enjoyed being with them. And I know some of you are thinking, you're big as a horse, but we're going to get beyond that. But a horse, a lot of times you see them, they got something in their mouth, and we call that a bridle or a bit. And the Bible talks about that if you can control the mouth of a horse, you can control the whole body. That's a big body, isn't it? That one little piece of metal controls the whole body of that horse. James says in the Word that if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. Isn't that true? Our mouth is an ornament which reflects what we have on the inside. Amen. A mouth under control of God brings satisfaction. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are snared by our what? Words. A lot of us can determine where we are inside by just listening to ourselves. Have you ever had anybody correct you and say, just listen to yourself? Have you ever had them do that? Just listen to what you're saying. You are defeating yourself by the words that you speak. Listen to this. A mouth under control is a beautiful object of the presence of God. A mouth under control. Have you ever wanted to say something But you didn't. Aren't you glad you didn't? Because you know, we get in those heated moments sometimes and we say things, and how many of you know, once those words go out, just hard to bring them back. But a mouth under control brings peace and tranquility. Sometimes the less said is the better said, isn't it? So God satisfies the person, get this, God satisfies the person who can control their mouth. Mouth resembles two things, words and appetites. If you can control your appetite, you'll be satisfied. But if you cannot control your appetite, you'll never be satisfied. Is that true? You know, when we're working on our weight and whatever, the best thing they tell you to do is learn how to control your portions. Isn't that true? And it's the same way in the world. The Bible teaches us on and on again to control. Satisfaction is about control. Satisfaction is about control. So the second question, real quick, who satisfies? This is important. Now we're right there close to it, so just take a right and let's go, or take a left and let's go to Proverbs. Take a right and let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and look at verse 14. There's different translations of this, and I wish sometimes that as I'm studying it through the week, I read different translations and I can't record all of them. But as you study, it'd be helpful because it brings about different insight. But it said, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You see that? Shall be satisfied from himself. So who satisfies? Here's the answer. Only God can satisfy. I really want you to get this point right here. If you don't get anything else today, who satisfies? Get this. Nothing or nobody can satisfy you. Sometimes we'll say, boy, if I get a new job, boy, that's really going to make me happy. But 2 weeks later, you're the same way. Or if I get a new husband or new wife, man, I'll be better then. Then you get them. Then you get them. And you wish you'd... Well, let's go on. Amen. Nobody. Well, if I tell you what, if I had a brand new car, I would be really, really happy. Then by the time the first scratch from Walmart comes on it, you're not happy no more. I think we learn real quick that things don't make us happy, and people don't make us happy, and even money don't make us happy. Because that's what not we were not created for that. We were created by an almighty God that formed us in the dust of the earth, and he breathed into us. We have the DNA of God in our lives. And nothing will satisfy you apart from him. It's sort of like when you're working on your car and you can get a manufactured part, or you can go to the original dealer and get the dealer's part, the one that was supposed to be on it. And sometimes when you get a second part, it don't fit right. And what's wrong in a lot of our lives sometimes is that we try to make things fit that God didn't put there. Sometimes we say, well, we're going to climb to the top. And I've studied a lot of leadership and a lot of different successful men of companies, and they say that the drive of climbing is all about satisfaction. Now get that. The drive of climbing is all about satisfaction. If you're driving for power, if you're driving for money, if you're driving for all those things, guess what? When you get there, it's empty. One writer even said, when you get to the top, there's nothing else to do but jump off. We don't want you jumping off, but I want you to understand, nothing or nobody can satisfy you like God. Number three, what's the result of satisfaction. Well, go back to Psalm 103. Well, hold your finger there. You're right there at Proverbs 30. Hold that there. But go back to Psalm 103. Who satisfies you, thy mouth, and gives good things so that your youth is renewed. What in the world is he talking about there? Go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. 11. And I really believe that when the writer here wrote this scripture, he was talking about the times we live in right now. There is a generation that curseth their father and does not bless their mother. He's talking about a generation that does not respect family and does not respect the roles of a father and a mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. Do you think we live in that day now where everybody makes what's right in their own eyes? And it says, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, proud and boastful. Verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and jaw teeth are as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech, or another translation said, the leeches, have two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. Never satisfied. Verse 16, the last verse. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith it, it is enough. So what's this talking about? The youth be renewed. Real quickly, I think that in our generation now, there's been a lot of principles and a lot of morals that have been lost. We have such things in our society today as chronic fatigue syndrome and different things like that. And I'm no ways being unsympathetic to those things because they are real. But we live in a generation today that's all about me. All about me. All of what am I going to get out of it? We live in a generation now, we have raised a generation to live on welfare and to think, you owe this to me. I don't need to get a job. You owe this to me. We live in a generation that mothers and fathers are not respected and not appreciated. And ceremonies like we had this morning, they would look at that and say, "What? Why do that?" I think about Andy Griffith. I love Andy Griffith. I think there's got to be another Bible book somewhere with Andy Griffith written in it. But you remember Andy Griffith days? Some of y'all remember. Act like you don't. Some of y'all remember. When, what did they do after they would eat? Aunt B would fix a meal, a very healthy meal. Fried chicken, baked potatoes, and gravy. Very healthy. And after they would eat and feed Barney, they would all do what? What did they do next? They sit on the porch. And they talked. And they loved one another. And they took care of one another. And they always saved the day. Now, we live in a different day today, don't we? We live in a day now where nobody talks. They text. They do all these things. Nothing against that, because if you survive today, you better learn how to text. But what I'm saying is we lose something in the matrix. The Bible says here that when you walk in the satisfaction of God, He'll remind you of things, get this, that really, really matter. Things that really, really matter. And then He says here, like an eagle. No wonder why God put an eagle in there, and He did it for this reason. As you begin to study and research the eagle was created by God. It did not evolve. It has a 7-foot wingspan. It can carry its weight. How many of you can pick up somebody who weighs the same thing you do? That's what he can do. His eyes are the same size as a human, yet they're 4 times acute. 4 times. And as they get older, the eyes never dim. And he gets new feathers every year. He's renewed by his Creator. Now I know a lot of us are going through a lot of stuff today. And there's one word I want you to remember if you don't remember anything else. Distractions. There's an enemy who wants to distract you from what's most important. There's nothing more important than than God's relationship in your life. Real simple. He's number one. The next thing is, there's nothing more important than your family. Nothing more important than your family. And as we live in a society today, we need the youth renewed. The last question. How do we receive satisfaction? Real simple. Just how we receive salvation. Just how we receive healing. And on by grace through faith. The benefits of serving God full time. How many of you know there's full time employees and there's part time employees? And most time part time employees don't get full benefits. It's the full time. When you serve God haphazardly and you allow distractions to come in your life and you get bewildered, you don't get the full aspects of the real presence of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. God will never leave you nor forsake you. In good times, praise His name. In the bad times, do the same. You want to know why? Because in the bad times, He's still there. He's an awesome, awesome God. You'll never be happy being a part-time Christian. You'll never be happy serving God part-time. It's all or nothing. When you lay your life onto Him and say, God, I don't understand. He didn't say you'd understand everything. He said, lean not to your understanding, but lean on Him. He will guide you. He will bring you through it. I heard a story, and I thought about James when I heard this story. It's a man that, very successful businessman, it's a true story, and they set a vacation up for his family. And he was going to be a little late because of his job. He was going to be one day late. And they got to this place and they fished. And the young boy caught fish all day long. And his dad called him. He said, I'll be there tomorrow. Can't hardly wait to get there. He said, when I get there, we're going to go fishing. He said, but Dad, let me tell you what happened today. What happened? Man, we caught all kind of fish. And the dad said, man. He said, well, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go fishing. It's okay. So the mar came and the dad got there and the first thing they did is just what he said. They went fishing. True story. Said he fished all day. This is like my fishing stories. Fished all day and didn't catch nothing. And at the end of the day, they were walking to, they got their fishing poles up and they were walking back to the cabin and he said, son, I'm sorry that today wasn't as good as yesterday. He said, oh, but Daddy, it was better. He said, how do you mean it was better? You caught all kind of fish yesterday. We didn't catch nothing. He said, but today I was with you. Boy, that touched my heart. That's satisfaction. That's what means the most. May God teach us how to be satisfied. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that in this world that causes us to just get so wrapped up because of schedules and appointments and demands and all these things, help us to remember, if I can't see you, Lord, and I can't see my family, and I can't see what's most important, then maybe I need to stop until the dust settles. Thank you, God, for being a God who satisfies us in our mouth and controls the whole body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning.